The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is.
You're a fraud.
As always, it's Noor, and I'm here with my brother Rahil, and today we're talking about the two finales of our very favorite shows on HBO, Succession and Barry. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to watch the Ted Lasso finale too, but I couldn't get into it.
I watched it. I watched Teddy Lasso. I thought we would talk about that as well, but we don't have to.
We don't have to. No.
But we can't.
Okay, well, we can't because, yeah, I have not watched it. What would you like to talk about first, Succession or Barry?
I think we always talk about Succession first. Succession is the main thing for us, right?
Let's talk about Barry first.
Okay, there you go.
Let me tell you something real. This is how I make my very little bit of ad money. You talk about the thing that people don't really care about first, then you get an ad in, and then you go to Succession.
Well, let's talk about your dreams and desires first. First of all, let's do that.
No one gives a shit about that. I love Barry. I love Barry so much. It's such a beautiful show.
It's so good.
This final season, I didn't even think that we needed it because season three was so good. I genuinely thought Barry was finished. I didn't know where they were going to go with the rest of the show. But I really, really loved it. So this is going to be a spoiler-filled recap for both Barry and Succession. So if you haven't watched it, don't listen to this. So I wasn't sure where Barry was going to go in season four. And it started off very dark. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. But one thing about Barry that I think has always been like very true is that the character of Barry himself is like kind of a dope.
Yeah.
Like very dumb.
Yeah.
Like very stupid. Like the fact that he calls up Cousineau when he's in jail. Yeah. I think it's like the very first episode. He calls up Cousineau in jail and he's like, hey, Mr. Cousineau, did you try to trick me? When he like gets caught, you know, like he's so like earnestly, like, I don't know if it's like demented. Well, he's obviously, do you think he's a sociopath? Yes, right?
Yeah, of course. He's emotionally dumb, right? He's not emotionally mature. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him so good at his job of being a hitman, because he is very smart, right? He knows how to kill people.
Yeah.
And he knows how to do it well. But yeah, emotionally, he's just a dunderhead.
So stupid.
It's so funny.
But so funny. Like, so then later on when he escapes prison and then we see him and Sally with a child 8 years later living in the middle of, in like what, in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, we're thinking?
Yeah, somewhere.
Probably. Yeah. Middle of nowhere. in a dusty little like nothing, and he's trying to be a dad, and he's trying to be like such a over the top cautious dad. He's homeschooling. He's teaching his kid about Lincoln. He's like, his son learns about baseball, and then he shows his son a bunch of videos about people breaking their necks and dying playing baseball because he's just like such a helicopter parent. They attend an online church together. And then when he, that whole stretch where he goes to LA and he's like trying to figure out whether or not he should murder someone because he's worried about going to hell. And then so he just keeps trying to find podcasts that tell him like, you know what? There's a lot of sins that are forgivable, but murder, that's not one that should be forgiven. And then he just and then he finds one that's like, I think it's actually funny because it's Bill Burr's voice Bill in Burr, the podcast. Yeah.
He's like, I think he's supposed to be like a hockey player who killed somebody in the rink.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I saw a sign from my God, and that was it. He's like, okay, that's it. That's all I do.
That's a bingo.
Bingo. My favorite part of this season, and it was so quick, but I feel like everybody caught it, is when he is sitting with his family and they're eating dinner and he says to his son, chicken pot pie. This is so good. Oh, I love Bill Hader.
So anyway, that's the thing. I think the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from Barry is that how much I love Bill Hader. And how much I trust Bill Hader to do whatever the hell it is that he's going to do. He is so good. Like, I think Barry is probably one of the best put together shows I've ever seen. Like, but it's also, you know, whenever like a Barry season started, I was like hesitant to get into it, even though they're half an hour long episodes, because all of them are like weighty, even though they're half an hour. Like sometimes they take, you know, there's like silence and all this other stuff, right? But then once you start it, it's all so good.
So good.
You know, one of my favorite throwaways, like, you know, those throwaway things that they do, is when he's talking to his son about like his time in the military.
Yeah.
And he's like, first he tells his son to go out to the field to get like this thing that he put out there. And he's like, how did that get out there? And his son brings it back and then like sitting on the steps. And then he goes, oh no, you know what? Let's do this on the swing.
Yeah, he goes, let's sit on the port swing. Yes. It's so funny. Yes, I love that stuff. I love that because there's with Barry, there's like very few moments of that. Like there's a lot more of that with like NoHo Hank, which I was that was a heartbreak of. He's so good, the actor who plays NoHo Hank. I love that whole thing. Like I think I texted you that episode where NoHo Hank ends up getting Cristobal dies. I was so sad. That was such a beautiful episode.
And that's the thing, right? So it's like two episodes before, it's like them at the Dave and Buster's, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen, when they're going around and around, and then he like wants to time it right, so he runs back. You said he runs back so he can do it the right way. So it's like the funniest thing in the world. And you're like, okay, these are just like the funniest, most absurd characters I've ever seen. And then like when he's walking back from like when he knows that Cristobal is going to be killed, and just like the way he's acting, it's so good. And you're like, God damn it. Like, how are both of these things in the same show? It's just amazing.
It's incredible. It's incredible. What did you think about the ending overall?
Of Barry?
Yes.
You know, I think it's fitting. I like you, you know, I would have been okay with it ending in season three, right? Because you go to prison and that's that, right?
Yeah.
I liked season four because I think it took it to another level of absurd. And then in that level, Barry getting shot in the head is the right thing to happen,
right? Of course.
So I was okay with it. I also
Mr. Cousineau being...
That was bad.
Framed as Janice's murderer.
That was Mr. Is Cousineau a good guy though, or is he a bad guy?
It's so here's the thing. He loved the shit out of Janice. We know that for sure. He was absolutely heartbroken when Janice died. No question about it.
I'm on board,
but he is a little bit of an opportunist.
He didn't want the movie, and then he heard Daniel Day-Lewis wanted to play him. So he
and Mark Wahlberg. I love that they're like, Mark Wahlberg wants to be in this movie, but you know what? He doesn't want to kill a cop. He doesn't want to be a cop killer. And then suddenly he's like, well, you know, Barry's not totally a bad guy. And then also, I felt so bad for him because he obviously like didn't, it's, you know, his own ego, his own desire for like greatness, for his own, just to fulfill his own ego. He just kept doing the most fucked up things, like the money that he got from Barry.
Yeah.
That he ends up using to buy the home for his son. I'm like, why would you do that, Mr. Cousineau? Why would you do that? Like, this is a bad guy. Like, you should not be using his money. And that's the thing that did him in, right? Because he was ultimately trying to buy his son's love because he was a shitty dad for all those years. So he bought his son a house and then he also shot his son.
That was by accident. So those things like that, I love that so much. Even like when he like wants to talk to the reporter, but he doesn't want to go on the record. So he does a one-man show.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. And they're like, why would you do a one-man show for him? Or even when like he's trying to get the guy, the agent calls him and he's like, no, we can't meet at Toscana's. I'll send you the location. And then he's like, you have to pretend like you're not talking to me. You have to talk into a cell phone. Like, he's just so silly. And also Henry Winkler is just so delightful. I love everything about him. I don't think I've ever really watched anything else with him except for clips of Happy Days and Arrested Development.
And The Waterboy. You watch The Waterboy?
I've never watched The Waterboy.
Oh, man. You need to watch The Waterboy. It's very
good. Okay. All right. But I loved it. I was happy for Sally at the end of it.
I was happy for Sally, too. And I've never seen... I don't remember her name right now. Yeah. The actor that plays Sally.
Yeah.
But she's so good, man. Like, she... like, everything that she had to do on that show... And then, like, I started hating Sally this season because I was like, what are you doing? Why are you running away? Yeah. And then that last episode, she has that scene with her son when they're both, like, held captive. And I was fucking crying.
It's so sad. I know. I loved it. And then, but I did, it did, like, I think the thing about Barry that sometimes, that kind of started to get lost, right, in the beginning of the season was that it is still ultimately a show about show business. Like, yes, it is a show about a hitman, but it's also a show about a hitman entering into a really fucked up world of like show business. So you have like, because these are actors and they're trying to get ahead, and you see like Sally's downfall and how the media like can make or break you and all that stuff. She became elevator C-word lady. So like, you know, all these things, I think they started to go away. So I was like, oh, they're all just going to move away from that because Hollywood wasn't involved at all. But then by the end of it, the fact that his son is now years later watching a movie where now he's glorified as a great person who we all know watching the show, like, no, he was a really bad guy. He's played by like a super hot dude.
Yeah.
The actor who plays Cousineau, who has like a British accent, like, it's so ridiculous. But it's so good because it's such a smart show. Like, it is about Barry being a hitman. It is about his relationship with like Fuchs and him like looking for a father figure and all those things. But it's also shows you like, yeah, he was a terrible person because he killed people for a living. But also Hollywood and show business is a terrible fucking thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's I think there have been some shows about that. I like that this one tied those two things together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it was lovely. Fuchs coming out of prison as the Raven. I love that actor. He scares me so much. Like Steven in Root? Anything he's in, he makes me laugh and also terrifies me every single time.
He's a Stabler guy from Office Space.
I know. Amazing. But he was fantastic in it, and I was happy for him. I'm happy that he got to save Barry's son at the very end.
Yeah.
And then, you know, walk away from it. But it was a great show. I'm gonna miss it.
Me too.
And also, it's made really well, and as you know, I love a single shot, so all of the single shot scenes, because that's the way the show is made, like where you just kind of pan across and you see all these things happening, the way it's like all choreographed and stuff, I love that stuff. And Bill Hader directed every single episode this season.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Bill Hader is like amazing at everything.
Yeah.
He's so amazing at acting and writing and directing. So
yeah. Well, Well, that's it. That's it for our Barry talk. And then let's talk about... That's it for the Barry talk. Let's move over to Succession.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, let's move over to Succession. This was like a movie. It was an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
The Succession finale. Mm-hmm. Were you satisfied?
Yeah, I guess I was definitely satisfied. Like, I didn't need anything more. Was I happy with the outcome? No. And I'm sure we'll be getting into that. But, like, in terms of, like, completing a show, it felt complete. Like, I don't think I needed anything else. I was just... not super thrilled with what happened, but yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what, I was satisfied with it. I was very happy with the ending.
And you were very happy with the ending?
I was happy with the ending because nobody was happy at the end.
Yeah.
These are not good people. See, you got sucked into rooting for people.
I understand. I understand, right? I understand that none of them are good people, right? But yeah. Like, Madsen isn't a good person either, right? No, we're dealing with terrible people all around. My question is, and I think this is something that's been going on, like in the conversation, is did what Shiv did make sense to you? Like, does that make sense to you?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It made sense.
Isn't she just getting back at Kendall? Is that like, how do you read that? Is she just getting back at Kendall? Is it a vindictive thing? At the shooting herself in the foot, or is she making the best decision for herself?
So I think one thing about Shiv that we know to be very true is Shiv does really well when she is working and leading certain kind. Like, we know that before she came into the show, like when Logan first ends up in the hospital and she starts to take on more of a role in the company. Before that, her job is working for a politician. So she's used to essentially working with certain types of men, powerful men. So she did that with her previous job. Then she goes over to work with her dad. And then she starts to work with her brothers, but her brothers don't actually give a fuck. Like, there's multiple scenes of Shiv getting kind of like left out of the conversation when they're in Denmark or wherever, or Norway, and they are the brothers are plotting and they're not including Shiv in any of it. And then they come back and they're like, oh yeah, we're all going to be together. And you know, Kendall does little things like sitting in the seat where she's already put her phone down, right? Little things like that. There's just a lot of Shiv getting like pushed out of things when it comes to like her relationship with her brothers. I don't think she ever got the respect from her brothers that she needed. And she obviously, like, when her dad was around, he was like okay to her. He never really propped her up, but he did care about her. And I think that in the Madsen situation, the meeting she has with Madsen in the beginning of this episode, final episode, you know, she's doing this thing where she's like, yeah, we got this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and you got to make this call, and you're good, right? You're good. And she's being very much the way that she probably is in a lot of these situations, and I think that Madsen realizes that, like, she's going to take over if I let her run things. Also, I want to have sex with her, so that's not going to be good, because the last time I wanted to have sex with someone, I sent them my blood in bricks, and so that's not good. And then she says one thing. She says about Tom, she's like, you know, he'll just suck the biggest dick in the room. And I think that Shiv, you know, the way we say, like, Tom is always happy to serve. Like, we saw so many episodes, almost every episode he has said something along the lines of, I'm just happy to serve. I'm your servant. I'm happy to follow orders, whatever, all that stuff. It's not my decision. It's yours. I'm just doing whatever you guys want. Like, he does a lot of that. I think that Shiv never does that. Shiv never does the I'm happy to serve. Shiv shows up to be like, I am going to tell you how this is going to be done because I know how it's supposed to be done correctly. And in this, I feel like at the very end, I don't think that she's thinking about Kendall at all. I think she's actually thinking about herself and how she gets now to, if Tom is taking over, Tom is one person where, yeah, they have like a push and pull. Sometimes she can manipulate him, sometimes she can't. I think that she's more well suited to be taken more seriously with somebody like Tom than somebody like Kendall. And so I think she's thinking to herself, if Tom takes over, if Kendall takes over, who is actually going to listen to me and who can I actually manipulate a little bit? And I think that that's what she's thinking about. Also, she's pregnant with Tom's baby. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not, you know, it's not really ever about like the money or anything, but it's just more about how do I stay in control? And if we're going to talk about the line, which we will get to what the stuff that Roman said, which was so mean, if we're going to talk about like the actual line of succession, if we're talking about blood, you know, her child is going to be the child of the CEO of Waystar Royco. And Tom is the kind of person who will give his company to his child. And so Shiv's child will get the company. So
I guess for me, I couldn't determine whether her actions were the best practical actions for her. Like if that's like,
you feel like she was too emotional as a woman?
Absolutely not. First of all, what's that voice? What's this voice that we just tried?
It was condescending.
I just think that she would have an easier time beating Kendall and Roman than she will beating Madsen.
But she didn't. That's the thing, right? She didn't have an easy time beating Kendall and Roman. Kendall and Roman kept her out of it, and Madsen saw how strong she was and said, we can't have somebody like her. We have to have somebody else.
Exactly. So Madsen is not going to allow her to be in the top position, right?
But it's a difference. I think Madsen wouldn't allow her to be in the top position because he knows that she's smart. Whereas I feel like Kendall and Roman don't think that Shiv is that good. Like Kendall and Roman both don't think that they don't respect Shiv at all.
I wouldn't trust either one of those two assholes to do anything sincerely, right? Yes. But I think that's the point that I'm making, which is that I think she can outmaneuver Kendall and Roman easily. Where now she doesn't really have that option anymore. So that's what I didn't get.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it is true. I did feel bad for the eldest boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Poor eldest boy. Because he is the hero, right? And at some point I started rooting for him because I'm supposed to.
Is he the hero?
Isn't he?
I don't think that he's ever been the hero. No. He killed a guy.
No,
and I don't know if it was the first one that he ever killed. Then Denver happened. I just told you guys the story. Okay, so a couple of scenes in this episode that I thought were interesting. The very first one is when all the siblings get together at Mummy's house, and they have this like little like, you know, I love the scenes when they have that when like you get to see just the filthy rich Roy siblings being siblings together when they're having like a little moment in the kitchen and making disgusting milkshakes and having a swim and all of that. Yeah.
So, you know, you call it a little moment, right? I thought that was very sweet. So when
it was Shiv, adorable.
When Shiv turns her back to that moment by not voting for Kendall, I was like, oh, come on, Shiv. Like, you, why would you crown him a king in that moment and then do this? And like, I felt bad, which again, I know it's ridiculous because Kendall's a horrible person, but as a sister.
She also made him drink a milkshake that she spat into and then dumped it on his head.
That's fine.
So I don't necessarily believe that. I get that as like siblings.
But it's like, you're like bonding.
It's such a weird thing. But I loved watching that scene because it like also made me weirdly emotional watching it because I was like, oh, they probably had so much fun filming this together. Like the actors themselves, you know? Yeah. But it was, I mean, I don't think that she was turning her back to that because I'm sure that they've done fucked up shit to her, way more fucked up shit to her and each other over the years and had many moments like this one.
Yeah, but this is giving away the entire family, like the main thing.
They're getting billions of dollars.
It's not
that serious, okay? They're getting several billions.
But the entire point of the show is who gets the company. That's what the entire show is about.
There's that scene. I loved when they were Roman and Shiver doing Kendall impressions. Mm-hmm. When they're like, should we kill him?
And he'd be like, oh, I can't believe you guys tried to kill me.
great. Now, what do you think's going on with Roman?
In general? Like, what's going on with him mentally?
Yeah, in this
episode. I think he had convinced himself that he was the man, right? Mm-hmm. And it was all kind of, none of it was actually real. It's just mm-hmm. he, you know, failed his way up into a thing. And when it actually came to a head and he had to be a person, he found out that he's not a person. Like, he's not mm-hmm. anything real, right? And I think that's what he realizes at the end, right? That's why he's like, we're bullshit. I'm bullshit. You're bullshit, because nothing we do is real. And I think that's basically just what he's, you know, understood over these last two episodes, is that, hey, I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy that can make this big eulogy, even though I thought that I was. I can't handle the pressure, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes out and he gets beat up. And then he has like this story about how he got into a fight when it wasn't a fight. He just got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And I think it's just coming to terms with that, right? And I don't know. I try to put myself in that situation, and I would be obviously very, very depressed, right? But he's, you know, I don't know if I feel sorry for Roman at all. Do you feel sorry for Roman?
No, not at all. I actually think that what happened is that Roman was really like leaning into being his dad, right? He was like mm-hmm. cosplaying as Logan all these episodes, where he's like yelling at Madsen and he's like, you know, pulling the strings with the election and all that stuff. I think that when he had the eulogy moment and he started sobbing, I think that all the pre-grieving didn't work. He finally officially grieved in that scene at the funeral. Mm-hmm. And I think once he fully grieved, and I think part of his grieving process is getting his ass kicked, like reminding himself of the relationship that he's had in the world, even being his father's son. Like there's scenes in this episode in the show where like Logan slaps Roman mm-hmm. and Kendall's the one who has to be like, stop, no, don't. And it's very obvious that this has happened in the past. Like, Roman has gotten his dad's beatings before, right? So I feel like Roman had all these experiences in the last episode that I think had him get back to who he is. And who he is not Logan Roy. Like, he is not the big bad wolf big bad guy that he was trying to pretend to be before the funeral. Because for a little while before the funeral, we were like, oh, maybe Roman can do this. Like, maybe he's got the chops. Maybe he's a lot more like Logan. He's not. He is a child, and he is bullshit. And I think that's why by the end of it, he's like, fuck it. None of this matters. I feel like he's thrilled. He's probably very happy by the end of it. Like, when he's having his little martini.
Yeah, exactly. He's so happy. He's just like, oh, I tried a thing. It didn't work out. You know, I forgot. It's been a while since I watched it, but that scene when he tells Kendall, like, he kind of forces Kendall to open his wound.
Yeah, okay, what was that? Can we talk about it? So he goes to the office, he hugs Kendall. Kendall's like fully leaning into like Logan stuff. He's sitting in Logan's seat, he's in his office, all that stuff. And then Kendall and Roman hug, and I couldn't tell if it was that he was squeezing his face into Kendall's shoulder, or if Kendall was shoving his face into his own shoulder.
Oh, so for me, I think it's pretty clear, right? So Roman says that, oh, I can't take this. I'm going to have to do the vote over the phone or whatever. And Kendall wants to keep him there. And Kendall realizes that Roman has this thing, this kink, whatever it is. I think it's sexual in that moment. Is where Roman needs to feel hurt, right?
Yeah.
So Kendall is doing that very forcefully, and Roman is pretending that he doesn't want it, but he clearly does want it. So Kendall is like helping, and it's the weirdest fucking thing, because it's like a sexual thing.
It is, right? Because like that was one of the things I remember. I always thought that they were going to say that Roman was like gay, because I felt like that's where it was also heading a little bit in the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of scenes where like with like a trainer and all that stuff. But I think all that stuff was to show that even when he would work out with a trainer, the trainer would like bend his body in certain ways where
he likes the pain.
He really likes the pain, right? So I think because Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, because that was also his whole thing with Jerry. He wanted to be berated. He enjoys the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And after he has that big cry at the funeral, the first thing he wants to do is get his ass kicked so that he could feel alive. He could feel something. So I feel like that's why at the end he's very happy. He's like, oh, great. I did not get a win. And I also think Roman doesn't want that pressure. He doesn't want that life.
Yeah, no, no way.
No way. He does not want to be in charge. No thanks. It was kind of adorable when he like didn't want to see Jerry because he had he looked stupid. Oh, Roman. And then yeah, and then we have the vote, and you know, Kendall's like also such a douchebag. Like the way he's like, "Hey guys, so like you know, the deal's a bad deal, and I'm voting no." Like it's just like this is not convincing to anybody.
So I think that is a justification that I see for Shiv, right? Yeah. Because Shiv is like, oh, this guy doesn't, like, you know, he just thinks that he's just going to get it because he's already worked everything out. Like, I want to see the effort. So, you know, when Kendall is being an asshole like that, when he's, like, trying to, like, big time or whatever, she's like, fuck this guy. I don't, you know, why should he just get it? Because he just told me that he wants it. So I can see that. I can see that justification. Because in that moment, I was also like, hey, Kendall, how about you make like a speech here? You should make a speech. You should try to win people over. But he doesn't want to put in the effort.
No, he's just like goofy troopy and just like saying whatever. Mm-hmm. I also think that when Sandy votes no and Shiv looks at her is also when we start to see Shiv getting a little bit like shifty. Because I feel like throughout, Sandy is the one person who's like, I feel like Sandy and Sandy we know are like maybe not as problematic of people, right? Like they've always kind of stayed on the outside of things. And they, right? Is that what we know about the Sandys?
They're all pieces of shit. Everybody in the circle. Yeah, everyone's just bad. Terrible.
Anyway, but when we have that cliffhanger with the vote and then the siblings go and have a talk, I mean, this was so good. It was so much fun to watch too. Because they all just got all their feelings out, all of them. Yeah, very mean, like, feelings.
The entire show compressed down into one scene, right? That's what that is.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It was so good. Kendall's argument for why he should be the CEO is because he's the eldest boy. And I love that Shiv is like, you're not.
She just goes, you just gave poor Connor, first of all. Unless you like consider him, but yeah, no, I like how Kendall kind of reaches that point, and it's because like he tries to make his argument beforehand, which is it's better for the family, and we know me, we can trust me, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But it's all bullshit. Like you haven't earned anything, and that's at your core who you are is you just think that you're the eldest boy. And I love that she laughs because it's so ridiculous.
Because that's the thing. Ultimately, that is the reason why he feels it is his birthright. Like he really thinks we just saw him like a couple of episodes ago drawing the number one in the sand because he convinced people, myself included, that Living Plus was a good idea. And like and then he had like a swim because he was like, I'm the king of the world. Like he really genuinely thinks that he is like a messiah. He thinks that this is his birthright. I think that's another thing that drives Shiv crazy because she's like, it's not. Like that's the other thing. I think his entitlement to the role is the reason also why she doesn't think that he would be good at it because he's never really been good at anything.
And that's the thing. Like as bad as I feel about Kendall not getting the position, even though I know that he's a piece of shit, like, at the end of the day, he would not have been good. Like, the right thing happened, right?
Yeah.
It just felt bad. I felt bad for poor Kendall because I've been watching him all these 4 years or whatever. So.
Yeah. Was it the beginning of this episode where his, it was last episode where his wife and kids leave, right?
Yeah, it was last the beginning episode.
Of yeah, last yeah, episode. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like his wife and kids. So speaking of his kids.
Oh, we got our question answered.
Roman comes in with a big blow about his children. He's like, well, you know, Shiv is in terms of the line, Shiv is the one who's got the kid with the blood with like the, and they're like, what? And he's like, well, dad's line was that they're not really they're not Oof. Really yours.
It's brutal, man.
So fucked up. And the fact that he immediately after saying that, they go into like a full tussle, like a full like fight that I would break up between my two kids. And I love that it's all happening in like clear boardrooms, like glass boardrooms where everybody around is like seeing it. Just as hilarious.
And then I have a question.
Yeah.
If you were Roman in that position, just who you are personally, and that this is the meanest thing that you can say in that moment. Mm-hmm. Do you say it?
Okay, you know me personally, and you know that I would say it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a monster. Yeah, you know me as a person, and you know that I am petty and mean enough to say some of the meanest things when I'm in a fight with somebody. Yes. Honestly, no wonder people are scared of me. But I would feel really bad about it later. But then I would also be like, well, it's the fucking truth. And you know what's fucked up? I feel like when it comes to information like this, you are a treasure trove of information. People open up to you.
I'm a vault.
But you foolishly share some of those things with me.
It's always come back and bit me in the ass. When I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me be a fun brother. Let me give you some information. And then it comes back two weeks later. And they're like, why did you tell your sister? And I'm like, well, you know, we talk about stuff.
Well, she's a bitch. And she threw it in my face.
Yeah. In case you weren't aware, your sister is a horrible person.
I know you're close to your sister, but she's a C word. Anyway, so Tom Wamsgams, he ends up becoming CEO. And he's getting to do the thing that I feel like Tom has dreamed of, where he like walks around and shakes hands and he gets to like be, you know, big boy in charge. But I do think that Tom is aware of the fact that he is actually not in charge.
I think he's not. Not only is he aware that he's not in charge, I think he is perfectly happy with it. Because I think that is who he is. He just wants to serve. And he can make it like the best situation for himself. Because he knows. He's like, okay, I won't have full power, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just do the work that I have to, and I'll just keep continuing to make money and just be rich because that's what I want.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love that. I love when they're in the car together and he just opens his hands so that Shiv can put her hand on top of it. Like he's like some sort of king or something.
It was ridiculous, but also a great mirror to the beginning of the season when they're both like kind of laying in bed together and they're very sad and then they just hold hands.
So now this has it within their relationship, it's turned it upside down, right? Because Shiv was always number one in that relationship and she would put him down. That was kind of their dynamic. Now, by status, Tom is number one.
Yes, technically, but Tom's boss wants to fuck Tom's wife and Tom can't do anything about it.
But so that's I fine. Feel that's like... the boss, though. That's not the relationship between him and Shiv.
Yeah, but Shiv also has no problem toying around with that. Like, I don't think that she has a problem with using that against Tom, you know? And I feel like that is their thing. Like, you know, it's crazy because we talked about, like, Kendall's or Roman's thing being, like, that kink of, like, hurting himself. Mm-hmm. We've literally seen Tom and Shiv come together by biting each other. So, like, I feel like that's their thing. They get off on that kind of cat and mouse. Good for them.
Yeah.
also, Greg. So, we can't forget Cousin Greg. Cousin Greg and Tom have a slap fight in the bathroom of Logan Roy's former house, now Conroy's house. And I just love that their dynamic hasn't changed at all because he's still scaring Greg into thinking that he's not going to have a job. But then he's like, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah, he wants Greg to be around. And you know what? I'm happy for both of them. And there's that TikTok. Yeah. There's that TikTok that you said.
the Taylor Swift song with Greg and Tom. So good.
I watched that thing like 7 times in a row.
I'm going to put it in the description of this episode so people can check it out too. Because it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's true. Those two love each other. There's nobody. I feel like Tom is himself, his true self, when he is with Greg. What's the actor's name? Matthew McFadden?
McFadden.
Yeah.
McFadden.
He talks about, like, he was on Jimmy Fallon, and he was talking about his accent and how it changes when he's around certain people, and like how he looks at like Nicholas Braun, who plays Greg, and he just immediately is like, he looks at him and he's immediately like, Greg, like his voice goes lower. And then when he's around Sarah Snook, who plays Shiv, he immediately, his voice is like, he's so like, the character is so scared of Shiv that he's always like, huh, honey? Yeah, no, sweetie. Like his voice is always high. And I feel like that's so true. If you like pay attention to Tom, he has these like very specific ways that he talks around certain people, and it gives away so much about him and his personality and like what he's probably feeling in that moment. He's also such a transparent person. I'm just happy for Tom, because like, you want to talk about failing up, like this is the, like the, it's like the Cinderella story of failing up.
Yeah,
for Tom. How exciting for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for all of them, because they're also going to be miserable. Like, yeah. And I think that's great.
So now that this show's over, who is your favorite character? And this doesn't have to be best actor or actress. Who are you most excited to see on screen?
Always Tom.
Always Tom, right? That's what I was thinking.
Always. Too. Yeah. I love Tom. I think he's hilarious.
Yep.
I think he's like, you actually know what's going on in the company when you have Tom show up in the screen, because the siblings are fairly delusional and they are all pretending all the time. But I feel like Tom is the one person who you would like his conversations with, like Greg, or even like just how you saw him like navigating around things. You saw like the reality of the situation for like a semi normie who's just trying to like climb up the ropes in corporate America. I loved it. I love that character. Now the show ends with Kendall walking around in the park and peering into the Hudson River, we're assuming, with the bodyguard lurking behind him. You think he's gonna jump?
So apparently there's a take where he did. He like ran to the railing, and the bodyguard ran after him. But that wasn't in the script, apparently. That's just something that he came up with on his own.
It made sense dramaturgically.
Dramaturgically, it made sense. But he was talking about like how that energy is in the final take. Like that is a thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're all thinking, right? Like I think we were all thinking, well, there's a chance that he may just jump over. I don't think that he would. Because I think Kendall is too selfish at the end of the day. Which is a weird thing to say, but I don't think that he would actually go forward with that. I think he would just be sad about it. I think he may do it like in an indirect way by like, you know,
by accident. Yeah.
Accident, ODing, something like that. But I don't think he's actually going to jump in. I think in that moment he was probably like contemplating it.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting that they showed him from a dramaturgical side of things, they showed him ending with him looking out into water, since, you know, beginning of the show, things are going really well for him. Mm-hmm. He's on top. He's going to take his dad down. And then he ends up by accident drowning a kid. And the water is where essentially like Kendall lost control. And I love that they kept showing different area parts of him, like in the water, always in the water, almost drowning himself, all that stuff, like all those things. So I love that the show ended on that.
Yeah, the water plays a big part, right? So there's that. Yeah. There's when the kid goes, and then there's like he's like reborn in season two when he's like coming out of the pool or the spa or whatever, and then we think that he may have drowned at one point, and then there's a number one boy. The number one boy on the beach.
The number one boy in the beach. Yeah, exactly. And even when the siblings are all together, he's like, I'm just going to go have a swim.
Yeah.
What a dork.
He takes his shirt off with his big like chest popping out. He also looks like a little boy, just like, you know, he doesn't really look like a man sometimes. He looks like a little boy.
Well, one of my friends pointed this out, and now I can't unsee it, but she says that Kendall, when he's looking like gloomy and scared, has cheeks like Aiden, like my son, and now I can't unsee it.
So
every single time I'm like, he's a worried little baby.
I haven't said this to you, but I have seen Aiden in Kendall since the show started. I've been afraid to. Because Kendall's such a loser. I'm like, how did you not see? How come we don't fucking talk about this?
Well, my son is he's an emotional guy. Did I tell you about how he fell in love with a girl on vacation?
Yeah, you told me. He's seeing a girl. He met someone.
No, he said I met someone. No, and it gets real. It's more than that, okay?
Oh, what happened?
No, so he was the very first day or on vacation. There's a little girl. And this is a total sidebar. It has nothing to do with Succession or Barry. But we're on vacation. He sees this girl on the pool. They're just like doing flips by each other. He doesn't even know her name. And then I could tell like they obviously enjoy each other's company. So I said, Aiden, did you get her name? So he goes, oh, okay, I'll get it. And then he goes up to her. He goes, my mom thinks I should ask you your name. So her name is Ariana. And she's a nice little girl. But the entire rest of the trip, they would both be in the pool at the same time, but neither would say a word to each other. And they would just kind of swim near each other. And then Aiden would only like look at her like a creep. And then by day four, he got that really bad sunburn. And so his face was all swollen. And it got better during the, like a couple hours later. And then she came to the pool with her family. And he runs up to me, goes, Mama, does my face still look puffy? I was like, no, you look fine. You look like yourself. He goes, okay, okay, cool, okay. And then he like got back in the water. And again, no conversations, nothing, like just swam by her. And then the day that we were leaving, we got breakfast in the morning and her family came, but they were sitting on like a little table a little bit far away. This kid almost broke his neck looking at her the whole time because he just like really liked her. Again, no information was exchanged. He just... yeah, he just enjoyed her company. And when I asked him what his favorite, his favorite part of the trip was, he said, "I met someone." I worry because Ariana's dad came later, and he had a very problematic tattoo.
Oh no! What was it?
I think it was a Nazi eagle.
No, it's just been like a USMC one. Like the Marine Corps.
It wasn't because they're Canadian.
Oh no. Canadian Nazis?
Imagine. And then I was like, her name is Ariana.
Like, oh no.
Father's
like,
I was like, why would they be on vacation in the Dominican Republic? And I was like, that's so true. That they can be served by brown people, obviously. So anyway, yeah. Anyway, back to the show. Yeah, I can see why people think that Aiden and Kendall look alike.
They really do.
Yeah. There's that scene at the townhouse where they all watch videos of Pop. I cried.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is, like, it doesn't feel like it's, like, shoehorned in or anything. Like, I believe Logan Roy was capable of being that warm, right?
Yeah.
That's who he was. And it's sad that he didn't let that side kind of lead because he couldn't.
Yeah.
So it made me very sad too.
I know. Well, any other thoughts about Succession?
Oh, they should bring it back. I liked it.
Will you do another watch?
Of Succession?
Yeah.
I've watched it twice. So I watched it. First of all, I give myself a lot of credit. Day one Succession.
Okay, relax. We all watch Succession, okay?
No, listen, you watched it like 3 years after the show started, all right?
No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not. How dare you? I did not. I finished the first season after it was finished, but it was, I watched the whole first season, okay? How dare you?
I was on it from day one. Anyway, so since then, as I've been watching the live version, I've watched it again twice.
Oh, wow. Okay. Just well, then, up. Never. Okay. Just okay. I well, maybe it. You should get a hobby. Anyway.
I think it's on my list of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think top five.
What's being replaced is now this stupid show called The Idol with The Weeknd and Johnny Depp's daughter. It doesn't look good. By a guy who does Euphoria? No thanks.
So now I don't watch Euphoria.
Yeah.
You watch Euphoria.
I do.
Do you still watch Euphoria?
It's they did two seasons. It's not back yet.
Oh, is it supposed to be back?
Yeah.
Now, this is a thing that happens with like these crazy shows, right? Shows like this come out, they're like shocking or whatever. There's a tendency for a lot of people like that think like us, like more progressive people, to be like, no, it's fine, it's good. And then because like the other side is like, this is the work of Satan. You know what I mean?
No.
And to us, we're like, no, fuck you. You know, people are allowed to. Something like this seems like it's universally just been panned from the beginning that it is wrong and it's fucked up and it's messed up. And if this show becomes a hit, I'm going to be very, very upset about it. And I think I'm going to blame you.
I think the reason why also the show is getting panned is because like the acting is just bad. Like I think everybody, it's just like, it's not good. Like the mm-hmm. thing with Euphoria that is good is that I feel like all of the actors in Euphoria are really, really good. Like it's Zendaya and like, you know, what shaking your head?
I don't want to rub you the wrong way because you mentioned Zendaya. I know I can't say anything.
You know how upset I get, but I feel like Euphoria is good because of that. It also has, I forgot, as you know, I just came back from vacation, so my brain's not working. It has the actress who is was in season one of White Lotus, the daughter.
The blonde lady?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember her name. She's got boobs.
Oh, it's a woman with the boobs.
Anyway, she's really good in it. Like,
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney, right? And so there's a lot of really good actors in Euphoria, and I feel like it's interesting because of that. Also, Jacob Elordi is very good looking and nice to look at. But my point is, I don't think The Idol is going to be good because I don't think that it's that exciting of a story either. Like they're talking, the entire show is going to be about a pop star who gets exploited sexually. But at the same time, Sam, I forgot his last name, the guy who's making the show.
Levinson?
Yeah. He is also been accused of exploiting his own actors on a lot of these shows. And that's the part of it that I'm like, I'm not sure if you're the person that should be telling the story. You're making these like very sexually provocative shows to talk about the exploitation of women, the sexual exploitation of women in pop culture. But you're adding to it. You're not actually helping the situation, I feel. And also, I feel weird about a man telling that story. I feel like if a woman was making a show about it, I would feel differently. But men telling stories about women getting exploited is not something I'm interested in seeing.
So you know what else? Like, have you read the Rolling Stone story about the show?
No.
It's worse than that, right? So the show originally, it was supposed to be directed by a woman and it was like written with a woman, like a woman was the one that was writing it. And then they brought this Sam Levinson guy in and he basically threw out all the work and he changed the perspective from the pop star to the Weeknd character.
The Weeknd?
Yeah. And so now the show is all like very, very exploitative. Like the people that were working on the show were like, this fucking sucks. Everybody talks about how terrible it is. So the right thing to do is not to watch this fucking show and to let it die.
Don't watch it, guys.
And the fact that HBO has it on is also fucked up. And if it does become a hit, that is a fucked up thing. That's a bad thing for us, for all of us. So it should just die.
Yeah, it should. We should all just binge Succession again. You know what? You should watch Barry instead.
There you go.
Watch Barry instead. It's half hour episodes. It's very good. Justice for Noho Hank.
Justice for Noho Hank.
I love him.
He's a crime lord.
I don't care. He was lovable.
He killed people in a sand pit.
I don't care. He was pushed against a wall. He had nothing. The Croatians were going to get him or whatever. The Serbians. I don't know what anybody is, but I love him. Anyway, well, that's it for this episode. I'll be back later on this week to talk about Summer Houses and also Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of Atlanta. Guess what? I quit watching Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm done.
Oh, why? What happened?
I can't. It's just annoying. Apparently, they're doing the reunion of the latest season, and guess what? Teresa is saying that she went to jail because of Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga. I just can't deal with it anymore. I can't.
You should fill that space with like some with some sports. I feel like I need to get you into sports. What about like the WNBA? You want to watch the WNBA?
It's been 38 years almost. I don't think it's going to work anymore.
Oh, boy.
Can I convince you to watch Four Weddings on HBO Max?
I will watch Four Weddings if you watch Air on Prime. Have you watched Air on Prime?
Oh, God. Yes, I will watch that stupid movie. I feel like Air is like your wheelhouse. Like two white dudes, it's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and they're making a movie about sneakers.
Yeah, it's not just two white dudes. It's Matt and Ben. Matt and Ben are very, very important to me. It's Matt and Ben and a story about Michael Jordan, right? With like Chris Tucker is in it. Marlon Wayans is in it. What's the name of that lady who plays Michael Jordan's mom? Shoot. Viola Davis plays Michael Jordan's mom. Now, you never watched The Last Dance, even though I begged and pleaded with you to watch The Last Dance.
I wanted to watch it with my husband, and he hasn't watched it. So,
yeah, your husband is a fucking hater, first of all. You know why he hasn't watched it, right?
Because he hates Michael Jordan.
He hates Michael Jordan. He's a big LeBron head, which is just stupid. Because because I love LeBron also, but in our basketball group, I have to always put LeBron down because your husband makes irrational and stupid comparisons to Michael Jordan. And then I have to because Michael Jordan needs me to defend him. I mean, that's how it works. Yeah. He's not going to be okay unless I defend him. Anyways.
Fine. His son is dating Lester Pippen.
One of the best parts about The Last Dance is the relationship between Michael Jordan and his mom, who's just a lovely person, Dolores Jordan. And she is like the hero of this movie, of Air, played by Viola Davis. And, you know, as if that wasn't enough, as if it wasn't like set up perfectly for me. Jason Bateman's in it also, in Chris Messina. There's no reason why you should not watch this movie. It's a perfect
movie. I'll watch it tonight with my husband. But do you think I should watch The Last Dance first before I watch Air?
No, you don't need to.
Okay. The best part is what?
The best part is the ending comes. Yeah. It all comes together with the Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. the Bruce song. All right. Wow. That is a movie that is specifically made for you. The only thing missing from it is Tom Cruise.
You know, he is missing from it, but it's the 80s. So I kind of just sensed him. I just sensed like Top Gun Tom Cruise. I felt like he was around.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, let's do that. I will watch Air and I will tell you what episodes of Four Weddings on HBO, formerly HBO Max, now just Max, to watch.
Fantastic.